I mean, didn't I tell you not to react to everything that Trump says? If you react everything to everything he says, you're going to have a nervous breakdown. You can't keep up. The man is a human flash grenade. The A-National OCGFC are going for broke. They're going for broke. It's like a shock and awe campaign against the post-World War II world order. Scorched earth. He's the disorienter in chief. A lot of people wanted me to respond to that obscene video that Trump shared on his social media platform, the AI-generated video that's supposed to show his vision of Gaza. Even though I've already said multiple times that you should never take anything that that man says literally. Never take anything literally. I've already said that this whole so-called plan for Gaza was absurd. And it's nothing but a tactic for signaling to the GCC and to Egypt and so on that it's time to move forward with a workable plan for reconstruction. And that was essentially confirmed by Steve Witkoff a few days later when he said that Trump was just trying to get the leaders in the region talking. You know, he just trying to get them to talk and put together ideas for moving forward. But of course, it was a disgusting video. I mean, it was disgusting and pathetic. It was disgusting, pathetic, and it's the closest that they will ever come to that scenario ever existing in reality. This is what they can do now. This is all they can do now. They can create an AI virtual outcome because creating a real outcome is no longer within their capacity. It's no longer within their capability. It's like that crazy Egyptian a while back in Syria, you know, who made an AI vision of an uprising in Egypt. It's the same. You are so disconnected from having any real-world impact, any real-world influence, that your imaginary dream scenarios can only be realized through AI, CGI, animation, what have you. So I wasn't going to respond to that anyway. Or anyway, I was deciding whether or not to respond to that grotesque video. And then there was the smackathon at the White House with Trump and Zelensky and J.D. Vance. See what I mean? It's shock and awe. Never leave enough time to process. Never leave enough time to deliberate or to analyze. Just pummel the collective consciousness with spectacles and dumpster fires to keep everyone not just distracted, but literally bewildered. You know, paralysis through an overload of weird, shocking behavior. And you know, within this stampede of outlandish, outrageous behavior, you also have, what's his name? Elon Musk's shenanigans in Germany and UK and so on. The elections in Germany that took Scholz out and replaced him with a former BlackRock executive. People ask me to comment on all of these things. But honestly, for me, it's like asking me to comment on every step in a staircase that someone is falling down. Because all of this is just the playing out of what I have been saying all along for at least 3 years now. The A-National OCGFC are throwing Europe under the bus. And in fact, they already threw it under the bus. It's been under the bus. So the headlines that we're seeing now are just about which part of Europe is currently getting crushed under the wheels, which part of the body of Europe. The US is subjugating Europe, and they're distancing themselves from the conflict zone that they want Europe to become. So, I mean, look at the reaction of the EU leadership to the Trump-Zelensky shouting match. That's just pledging their undying support for Ukraine, doubling down on their animosity towards Russia, and accepting the fact or acknowledging the fact that they are no longer American partners. That's just Europe continuing to fall down the stairs. And the effigy of Scholz is removed, and BlackRock takes over direct control over Germany to ensure that the destabilization goes on. Every country is supposed to fend for itself in terms of security and military preparedness and so forth. Which it doesn't mean anything except purchasing weapon systems from the US. It means domestic conscription and so on. You understand? I find it hard to motivate myself, frankly, to even comment on all of this because I have literally been saying this for years already. So it's hard for me to find something new to say, except, yeah, that's what I said. I mean, if you want me to comment on the train wreck of that press conference between Trump and Vance and Zelensky, what is there to say? Really, what is there to say? I mean, this is where it's appropriate to bring up the fact that Trump was a reality TV star. You know, people mention that all the time about Trump, dismissively, as if that's the only thing that Trump ever has been, which is dishonest. But in this case, it's right, because that was a reality TV catfight. And it makes me look at how well King Abdullah actually controlled himself in his press conference with Trump. You know, that press conference that everyone criticized him for, But he didn't allow himself to be provoked into the indignity of a shouting match, which you have to know at this point that Trump is always loaded up for that. He's always loaded up for that. He's ready to do it. So I think world leaders need to understand that any joint press conference with Donald Trump is a trap, because he absolutely is shamelessly ready to play for the cameras at any time. And this, again, is just another way of alienating the rest of the world from the U.S. And isolating America from the world stage. If your relationship as a country, if your relationship with the U.S. is sensitive in any way, why, the worst thing that you could ever do is to appear, agree to appear in a joint press conference with Donald Trump. You know, Teddy Roosevelt said, speak softly but carry a big stick. That's the American approach to diplomacy. So when you see an American president speaking loudly, well, you know he's got no stick. So all he can do is to try to beat you down verbally. And if he does it on camera, if he does it in public, well, it can have the same effect as a physical beatdown. So leaders around the world, in my opinion, should never give him the chance. Don't you do a joint press conference with Donald Trump. It's not safe. Okay, but meanwhile, actual things are happening, and you should try to pay attention to those actual things, like the gutting of the federal government in the United States. The A-National OCGFC are scraping out the insides of the government like a Halloween pumpkin. What we are witnessing is not some unprecedented decline of Western power, but rather we're seeing the natural conclusion of the imperial project. The A-National OCGFC are simply doing now to Europe and doing to America what they have been doing to the Global South for decades. Longer than decades, the machinery of the empire was never built to serve the people at the imperial core. Remember that. It was built to serve the private interests that controlled the empire. And now, with America retracting as an empire, those same private sector elites are cannibalizing the very system that sustained them. You understand? For decades, the Global South has been systematically stripped of sovereignty. Its governments have been reduced to administrators of corporate interests, corporate imperialism. Their resources extracted, their populations controlled through debt, through military intervention and economic coercion, on and on and on. Now that process is being applied to the former imperial centers themselves. The U.S. isn't just retreating from global hegemony, it's being devoured from within. The institutions that once managed the empire abroad are now being dismantled at home, like the NED and USAID, and it's being repurposed to facilitate the looting of the American economy and the subjugation of its own population under the same neoliberal order that it imposed everywhere else. That's what's happening. I mean, look at what Trump has done to the federal government. Honestly, agencies that were once responsible for regulating industry, for protecting labor rights, for ensuring environmental standards, or for providing social services, it's all being gutted. It's all being hollowed out. Or it's being handed over to the private sector, to private sector actors who have no interest in governance beyond how it can be exploited for profit. That's their only interest, you know. The Environmental Protection Agency is turned into a tool for deregulation. The Department of Education is being pushed towards privatization. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, dismantled to make way for unchecked corporate predation. Even institutions like the State Department, even institutions like the Pentagon, traditionally instrumental in maintaining empire abroad, is being restructured to prioritize the profits of defense contractors and oil companies over any sort of strategic vision that has anything to do with defense. And then, of course, there's the push to shift military costs onto other nations. You know, the idea that Europe needs to rearm itself, that NATO member states have to vastly increase their defense budgets. This isn't about strengthening NATO, strengthening those countries. It's about shifting the cost burden of maintaining global security onto others while the U.S. sells them weapons. That's all that is. It's the same game that they played with a so-called third world militaries. You know, create instability, manufacture a demand for weapons, and ensure that the war itself remains a profitable industry. Indefinitely. Europe is being positioned not as a partner, but as a new frontier for security-based economic exploitation. This is the inevitable trajectory, by the way, of an empire in decline, of America's empire. America's global footprint is shrinking, but it's not because they're making a strategic retreat. It's because the forces that once wielded that empire for their own gain no longer need the facade of national power. They have extracted what they could from the world, and now they're extracting from America itself. The country is being looted. It's being asset stripped and sold off in pieces. And just as they did in the global south, they're going to leave behind a population that's drowning in debt. They're going to leave behind a government that is incapable of addressing the needs of the population, and a security apparatus that exists solely to suppress dissent. The same corporate oligarchs, the same financial institutions and military contractors that drained the global south of their resources are now doing the same to the west. This is what I've been talking about for ages now. The same economic policies that left entire nations in the global south impoverished, the same mechanisms of debt enslavement, the same manufactured crises and wars of destabilization and so on, those are now being turned inward. You all over there in America need to understand this. Wallahi, you need to understand that you are absolutely on your own. You know, you have a kind of bear that's only in America, the black bear. It's a predatory animal and a scavenger, appropriately so. And when it goes out to find prey, to find food, and it can't find it, well, it comes right back to its den and it eats its own cubs. Forget about the chickens coming home to roost. This is a case of a hungry bear coming home to eat its young. That's what's happening. And you need to start thinking, if you're in America, you need to start thinking about your options. You need to start thinking about what resistance really means for you. Because you only have two choices, really. You really only have two choices, either resistance or escape. In this case, it's important for you to understand that you're dealing with the literal programming of the system, the DNA. You know, it's like the bear. It's like the bear's nature. You're not going to change the bear's nature. It's programmed like that. This isn't about Trump. This isn't about right or left. This isn't about Republican or Democrat. This is about the nature of the system itself. And this is the only way that that system can go. Please understand. You're not going to convince that that black bear to spare you, that hungry bear. That's not going to happen. You think you can reason with a hungry bear? You think you can say it's unconstitutional for a bear to devour its offspring? That's not going to happen. That bear is going to do what bears do. It's going to do what it's always done. It's going to do what it was designed to do. So right at the outstart, you have to discard any notion that you can turn that bear around, or that you can persuade it to go hungry for moral or for ethical reasons or what have you. That's not going to happen. This is irreversible. So any strategy that you have for addressing the situation that includes reversing this process is just going to get you chewed up. I'm telling you, the dismantling of America, the hollowing out of the federal government, the isolation, the economic collapse, this is all happening, and it has to happen, and nothing is going to stop it from happening. You can't flap your arms to keep a spiraling plane from going down. That's not going to work. This is the future that you're facing, and you need to make your plans based on that reality. Don't be like Trump and come up with some, you know, fantasy AI video of the future that you wish could be but won't be. And don't make your plans based on the way you think things should be. Make your plans based on the way things actually are. I mean, I'll give you another evidence. Trump's so-called gold card program, visa program. You've heard about this? He's offering residency and a path to citizenship for $5 million. This is not an immigration policy. It's a fire sale. He's not offering opportunity to the deserving, you know, the most deserving. He's auctioning off the country to the highest bidder. This isn't about job creation. It isn't about economic development or national prosperity or whatever other hype you might hear. It's about the final commodification of American sovereignty, the absolute monetization of citizenship. It's the selling off of America itself to the national owners and controllers of global financialized capital. Couldn't be clearer. This program that Trump has allows any foreign billionaire, whether it's a Russian oligarch, a sheikh from the Gulf, or a Chinese tycoon, to purchase a permanent U.S. residency and eventually, you know, a path to citizenship for just $5 million. No jobs need to be created. No economic contributions have to be made. No investment. Nothing beyond the payment itself, beyond that $5 million. There's no requirement whatsoever for these individuals to invest or to integrate or assimilate or what have you, or to even live in the country. They're simply paying for a passport. They're paying for a nationality. This policy reveals a stark reality about that government. The American government does not see the United States as a nation anymore. It sees it as real estate. It sees it as an asset to be leveraged, a commodity to be liquidated. The country is not being governed. It's being sold. I mean, some might say, why would a foreign billionaire pay $5 million for this when they can already invest in the U.S.? Well, it has nothing to do with investment. The gold card offers them something that investment can't really offer them, just investment. Unrestricted access, asset protection, political leverage, and legal immunity. Billionaires who secure American residency can gain unfettered access to the U.S. financial system. Their transactions will no longer be subjected to the scrutiny that applies to foreign nationals. You understand? Laundering, money laundering. Their money can flow freely. Their investments can be made effortlessly. Not to mention asset protection. I mean, wealthy individuals who come from, you know, unstable or from authoritarian regimes or what have you, can safeguard their money. They can safeguard their businesses and their families and so forth in the U.S. or with a U.S. nationality, insulating themselves from the risks of political upheaval in their home countries or confiscation by their governments. Not to mention, obviously, they'll get political influence. They'll get to vote. They'll get to fund political campaigns and not be foreign actors. They'll get to lobby the legislature and so forth. Not to mention, they'll be safe from extradition if they're financial criminals. If their home nations or any other nation attempts to extradite them, they'll have the safety of American citizenship. So this gold visa, gold card visa, it's kind of like a get out of jail free card. Not to mention, it's a second passport. The ultra rich always like to have extra passports, maintaining multiple nationalities. It's a way to ensure that they have that they'll always have a safe haven. You know, gives them the ability to move freely across the world, evade all restrictions that are imposed, maybe in their home countries or other countries and so forth. So in reality, this it's not a $5 million investment; it's a $5 million protection racket. What Trump has done is to place a price tag on citizenship, and in so doing, he has revealed the true priorities of those who run that system. It's just money. I mean, think about it. If a refugee who's fleeing from war or persecution seeks asylum in the U.S., they're treated like they're a criminal. If a hardworking migrant worker crosses the border, they're hunted down like an animal. If a skilled professional wants to immigrate legally, they face years upon years of bureaucratic obstacles. But if a billionaire wants to buy a green card, no problem, just write a check. Easy. This policy strips away any illusion that America is a land of opportunity or that it values contribution or that it rewards merit. No, the only thing that matters is money. America is no longer a country. You understand? It's an asset class. It's a nation for sale. Trump's policy doesn't serve America, obviously. It doesn't serve the American people, obviously. It serves the national owners and controllers of global financialized capital. They don't see themselves as citizens of any country, of any nation. They operate, as I've said many times, beyond borders, above borders, beyond governments, above governments, beyond laws, above laws. Their allegiance obviously isn't to America, it's to capital itself. They extract wealth from every country, but belong to no country. So what does this tell you about the trajectory of global capitalism? It tells you that nations are obsolete. Governance has been replaced by transactions. Citizenship is no longer a birthright. It's not an earned privilege, it's a commodity. Trump's gold card is not a visa program, it's a clearance sale. It's an admission that America has been reduced to nothing but a marketplace. Its government is nothing but a brokerage firm, and its citizenship is just another product on the shelf. I mean, why not tweak that program, honestly? Allow Americans to sell their citizenship for $5 million. Now that makes sense. Let struggling Americans get paid and move out of that country with their newfound millions. That's a program I could get behind. Imagine if, for instance, just 10%, just say 10% of African Americans could sell their citizenship for $5 million each. That's roughly 5 million new millionaires, $25 trillion between them. You can get a Dominican citizenship for an investment of just $100,000. So again, just for instance, you could make the Dominican Republic $25 trillion richer overnight. You know, I'm just saying African Americans because they have the most obvious reasons for being interested in selling their citizenship, since they don't get much out of it in the first place. But if you offered a program like that in reality, well, I think that you'd see that country empty out. I mean, ask yourself, if you're an American, what would you rather have? American citizenship or $5 million? $5 million and the opportunity to get citizenship elsewhere and have all the safety and all the security that comes with being that rich. Well, I think for most Americans, that's a no-brainer. Retaining your citizenship is never going to secure for you that kind of wealth. It's never going to secure that kind of wealth for you. It's never going to give you that kind of freedom, and it's never going to give you that kind of security. And I think you know it. Well, I think you ought to ask for this, actually. You know, Trump already opened the door for it. I think you ought to demand the right to sell your citizenship, since he's already treating it like a product, like an asset that can be bought and sold. So why can't the people who already possess that asset, who already have that product, why can't they sell it? Isn't that capitalism? Isn't that the free market? You know, why can't every individual citizen become a seller of their own citizenship? I mean, Trump started it. Anyone in the world ought to be able to buy American citizenship on eBay. Now, in fact, forget about selling it. If American citizenship is worth $5 million, well, shouldn't we be entitled to a refund? I mean, I don't know about you, but I sure never got $5 million worth of value from my citizenship. Did you? Well, I think the government ought to buy it back, just like corporations, you know, with their share buybacks and so on. You can have it. Give me that $5 million and we'll be on our way. Who wouldn't go for that deal? Well, you'd see that whole country depopulated within days. But seriously, I think that you're going to have to think in terms of how you're going to ride this avalanche, and don't fool yourself ever into thinking that you can ever stop it or that you can reverse it. No, you are surfing on a landslide. If you're an American, and you're going to have to pay attention to the way that that landslide is moving to adjust your position accordingly to make sure that you don't fall and get swallowed into it. That's what's happening. And the unfortunate reality is that the power structure has spent decades making sure that you are not equipped to deal with this. That's the truth. Making sure that you don't have the intellectual faculties, that you don't have the material faculties, that you don't have the social skills, the community building skills, or any understanding of solidarity that you need to survive. While the American people have become literally the fatted calf, ready for slaughter. I mean, look around you. Honestly, look around you. The American people have been fattened up physically, intellectually, psychologically, like livestock being prepared for the slaughter. I mean, this isn't just about obesity rates, literally, even though those are skyrocketing. This is about a whole population that has been systematically weakened, has been systematically softened, and they've been made utterly dependent to the point where they can't even recognize their own captivity. This is the situation that you're in. I mean, just look at, like I say, even literally, look at the bodies of Americans. 30% of U.S. adults in 1999 were obese. Now it's over 40%. And severe obesity, the kind that cripples mobility, that causes diseases, that makes you incapable of even basic physical autonomy, that's doubled in the last two decades. Children are following the same trajectory. I mean, childhood obesity rates have tripled since the 1970s. Well, what does that mean? It means that the system has literally engineered a society where people are too sedentary, they're too sluggish, they're too unhealthy to resist. They're too dependent on medications and on processed food and so on. You're not being prepared for a future of strength and independence. You're being prepared for culling. And no, it's not just physical. Intellectually, the decline is just as dramatic. You know, global assessments rank the U.S. embarrassingly low in literacy, in mathematics, in problem-solving skills. We're talking about a country that prides itself supposedly on being the leader of the free world, yet its people struggle to comprehend basic information, struggle to apply logic, to critically assess what's even happening around them. Do you understand what that means? It means that the majority of people are functionally incapable of defending themselves. They're functionally incapable of defending themselves or protecting themselves against manipulation. They don't have the intellectual tools to resist. They have been rendered deliberately passive. And the people know it themselves. The people are aware of this. You know, polls show that the Americans themselves know that they are experiencing moral and intellectual decline. But they also believe that it's always been getting worse, that this is just the way things are. This is psychological engineering at its finest, convincing the whole society that its decay is natural and inevitable. Your food is poisoned, your education is hollowed out, your physical strength is eroded, your attention span is destroyed. You're not being prepared for leadership. You're not being prepared for self-sufficiency. You're not being prepared for resilience. You're being prepared to be used and discarded. And the worst part is that you've been made to accept it. So, I mean, the question is, are you going to keep grazing in the pasture, getting softer and softer, getting weaker and weaker, just waiting for the inevitable? Or are you going to break free? Try to regain some kind of strength and refuse to be led to the slaughter. Because let me tell you something, no one's coming to save you. It's on you to wake up and to resist. And I don't know if you're ready for the challenge, because like I said, they have literally been making sure for decades that you aren't ready. I mean, you're going to need to build communities, and I don't mean just hosting block parties or going to neighborhood cookouts. I'm talking about literally building parallel community-level power structures, localized independent economies, your own supply chains, your own resources, and I mean basic needs resources like food and water, education networks, community policing, and so on. You can learn some of this, a lot of this actually, you can learn a lot of this from the Global South. I mean, do you know that there's areas in Pakistan, there's whole areas of Pakistan where the army won't even go, because the local leaders there in those areas have built such strong parallel power structures that they function almost like autonomous zones. Well, like I've talked about before, you know, some of those prisons in the Global South, especially in South America, where the guards don't even go into the prison cells, or they don't even go into the cell blocks, because the prisoners, the inmates, have seized full control. Well, that's your situation. You're prisoners. You're inmates, not citizens. Understand this. You are inmates of America. You're not residents, and you're not citizens. You're inmates. And if you can't find your way out of that prison, well, then you're going to have to find some kind of way to consolidate some degree of autonomous control where you are. Now, I'm only telling you how things are shaping up over there. That's all I'm saying. You can do whatever you want with it. But realistically, this is what you're facing. This is the reality that you're facing. This is the future that you're facing. That American bear, that corporate bear, went looking for prey in the Global South because that's where all the prey used to be. But now the Global South has got its own bears. So that bear is coming right back to you. And you're going to have to be ready.